Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Hello, Real Life, how we doing? Oh, come on. Hello, Real Life, how we doing? Yeah, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. For all of you watching us online, we are so glad that you are here with us. I'm excited to see what God has for us as we dig in. I'm excited for this series. This is week 3 of Home Wreckers. But before we dig into that and kind of where we've been with the series, I always love sharing a verse, an invitation for us as we enter into hearing God's word. And so this is in Matthew 11, one of my favorite verses ever. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" I don't know what you're going through this week, what's going on in your life. I don't know for everyone watching out there what's going on in your week, but what I do know is that we get this opportunity, this invitation from Jesus to come into his presence just as we are, with all of our burdens, with all of our brokenness, and lay it at his feet. And it says to listen and learn from him, that he's humble and gentle at heart. And a way that we do that, that is applicable the same today, is that God's word is alive and active. And it does things in us. It can change us from the inside out. His promises are a trustworthy anchor for our soul. And so regardless of what you have going on, I encourage you to dig into this, to see what God would have for you. I'm excited to do this. And so week 3, Home Wreckers. This series has been awesome and challenging. We've been talking about Home Wreckers as a relationship series, knowing that all of us have a home. Mothers, brothers, sisters, daughters. You don't have to be married or have kids to know that relationships are home. We all have them. And so home wreckers, we're talking about things that can be home wreckers in our relationships and in our homes. What we can do to allow ourselves to live in a way that is a home wrecker for us. As well as, though, not just the home wrecking part, like the hope in that. And that there are things that we can do and that we all need relationship. In week 1, we talked about selfishness and pride. That when we choose selfishness and when we choose pride, that becomes a home wrecker. We can drive people away. And when we choose isolation, that drives us away. Last week, we talked about bad communication and expectations, that we can have very high expectations of the people around us, and that can be damaging, as well as all kinds of different expectations and communication that we can have that can affect those things. If you weren't with us, go back and watch those. They're awesome. We want you to be in the loop for those things. And so here I am, week 3. We get to talk about priorities and goals. Yes, because we love priorities and goals. The conversation that's usually wrapped with priorities and goals is usually around January, and this is how I usually know it. When you go to the gym and all of a sudden there's 500 new people and they're there for 2 weeks, and then you're like, yes, when they leave and they're not back till the next January, right? But for us, it's important, even biblically, where our priorities and goals are. I wanted to read the definitions of those this morning. So priority: a thing that is regarded as more important than another, the fact of or condition of being regarded or treated as more important. So the most important thing is what a priority is supposed to be. Now, we can have different kinds of priorities in our life, and it's good to have those, but what's the most important thing in our lives? And when we don't have those things as the most important things, it can affect our relationships, how we parent, how we're in our marriages, how we spend our time. Are we really living a life that is focused on the most important things? A goal. A goal is an idea of the future or desired result that a person or group of people envision, plan, and commit to achieve. So what are our goals and priorities? And biblically, there's several verses that I want to read here as we get into this that talks about kind of the importance of training and being disciplined and having the right goals in the right places. This is 1 Timothy. And it uses training as an example. It says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Promises benefits in this life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work so hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. So for you, it's talking about how physical training could be a good goal. And I like physical training. I was a wrestler. I liked doing that. And that could be a good goal, a good priority. But what's more important, what we should struggle towards, is a training of godliness and pursuing the things that won't fade away. Another verse that hits that is 1 Corinthians 9. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And so biblically, this is actually important. And he's saying, I love what he says here. He says, I have purpose in every step. I would love to say I live my life that way, but most times I don't think I could say what Paul said there. Every step, purpose, that he's training, that he's disciplining, that he wants the most important things to be the most important things. For me, I think of wrestling, and you find out really quick in wrestling who takes it seriously, who just says they're on the team. There's people who are like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. That's all I do. And then there's people who are wrestlers who actually that's all they do. During wrestling season, I had no life growing up. You had to cut weight. You got to run. You got to be in shape, because you could be as technical as you want, but if you are not in shape, then you're not going to do too great. And so you have those people on their way to tournaments who are like eating candy bars on the bus. And I'm like, you booger, you know, right? Like, it kills me. And then you have us who have been running and training and to get the weight down and to get to the right weight class, who are, you know, practicing above and beyond, who are going to tournaments, who are doing all of the stuff. You find out real quick when people are serious, not just with their words, but they back it up with their actions. There could be people who are like, that's all I do is wrestling, but then they're not getting in shape, they're not going to the stuff. You can find out real quick. We can do the same thing as believers. I am a follower of Jesus, and we don't do this perfectly, so I'm not talking about perfection, but how we live our lives is the story that backs up our words. And here's what I believe reveals really what your priorities and goals are. Things like what you're willing to sacrifice for them. What you actually sacrifice in your life reveals what your real priorities are. What you spend a lot of your time on reveals where your priorities and goals really are. You can say there are things that are your priority and goals, but then how you spend your time, what you sacrifice, what you exert your energy and your passions towards, and you spend your resources on, will reveal really where your priorities actually are. That's challenging. That's challenging. I wrote this, and it was one of the most convicting things. I finished it last week, and I just sat there for an hour last week going, man, Lord, this is convicting. Not in a bad convicting way as we dig into this, but more of a way like, man, Lord, I want to live for the right things, because of what you've done, because of who you are, because of what you've given, because of what you have sacrificed, and how you made me your number one priority in the midst of my sin. He gave it up and he calls me a masterpiece even when I don't deserve it. You can see what Jesus's priorities were, what he spent his time on, his life on here on earth. He did everything with us in mind. We became a priority to him, even to the ones that would never choose him. And so let's talk about this. Let's talk about the wrong priorities and goals. As if you're following on the notes, that's where I am at. If you're online, that's where we are at. We're talking about wrong priorities and goals because we can all have them, right? It seeps in, and sometimes we don't even know what those are, but we're going to go through a bunch of these. One of the things could be money. We could have money seep into our number one priority, monies and possession and all of those different things that we can pursue those things. And I'm not saying any of these things that we're about to talk about in themselves are bad. It's really good to be wise with your money, to make good decisions that benefit you and your family, to use your money for enjoyment and wisdom and generosity. It calls us to those things. But remember, priority was the most important thing. And there's a way that we can even justify this. We can go, you know what? I want to spend and work really hard to gain money so that I can have my kids and family have all of the nice things, which that's a good thing. But here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna spend 4 or 5 years grinding, being gone all the time, working extremely hard and all those different pieces so that that can happen. And we can all of a sudden have people that we love that instead of connecting, it becomes about that. And I'm not saying that that's bad if you have a job where you're working in different things. That's good to earn your money. But in your heart, where is the priority? Where are the things that you're making? If that's the case in some scenarios, how are you on the other end building those relationships, connecting those people that you love? Because how many movies do we see where the dad's gone all the time and the kids have what they want and money and stuff, but they don't have a relationship with the father, where they desire that connection? So that can be a temptation, especially in our culture, to make those things the core things. And we can even justify it for different reasons. But I want to have a goal that goes, I want the things that are most important to be the most important. Another one is success or power, that we can want to be looked at or have influence or be popular or have a good position for status or whatever. And in a way that I can sometimes even in my role justify that is as a pastor, right? The more I do and reach, the more influence I can have, the more people can know Jesus. And that in itself is an amazing thing. But sometimes I let that get me off of how much I'm with my family, how much I'm investing in my kids, how much am I sitting down and talking to them about Jesus. You see, there's this balance that we want to make the most important things the most important things. And we can even go, you know what, in 3 years' time, five, we can make plans and goals. We can go, you know, I'm just going to grind for a while so that I can gain more influence, so that I can reach people for Jesus. But guess what? 5 years, 3 years, 2 years is a long time in your relationships. And we can sacrifice those relationships that we need. And then before you know it, although that might have been a driver at the beginning, now you're disconnected. You're not in connection with others. And here's the cool thing. None of these things are bad in themselves. Having influence, having money, God wants us to enjoy things. God wants us to enjoy things and have things, and that's good. But are they becoming the most important things? Things like chasing dreams and vacations and hobbies, which are great things. I love vacations, right? I don't know how many of you have been on an awesome vacation, but I love it. Vacations are awesome. I love pizza, right? Pizza and food and entertainment and like all those things, right? Those are things that God's given us to enjoy, and that's awesome. But when they become the thing in our hearts that we pursue above the right relationships, above connection with believers, above what we're doing with our kids, what we're doing with our spouses, what we're doing in all of these ways, then we are missing the point. And it can be damaging when we don't put the right goals and priorities in place. It can be damaging. Could be a good education even. Like I have such a heart for my kids, but I know if you're a parent, there's times where it's like, man, I'm trying to do the best thing, and sometimes I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm figuring out, right? And you know, for me, sports was huge, and my kids are in sports, and I did sports, and I connected so well with my dad with sports. And it was awesome, and there was memories, and there was tournaments, and there was all these things. But what can happen is, a lot of the time, as I've done youth, what can happen is that sports becomes the priority over relationship with Jesus and others. That because we desire our kids to be connected and be involved, and those are great things, but instead of pushing for godly relationship, so that when things go sideways, because they will at times with our kids and as they get older, that when that happens, there's no connections there. Because we would rather have them go to all the nice places and be in all the great sports and do all the awesome stuff rather than invest in those things. And I'm not saying don't do sports. My dad fought that struggle with me. We did a lot of sports and different things, and I was a bit of a booger, so it really didn't matter how he balanced that, but he pushed for that. He balanced that. He pushed me towards relationship, but yet still did it. And so how does that look in our lives and in our homes and in our relationships? You know, I have this analogy to help describe this. It's online as well. It's used several times at different things, but I love it. And so I have this rope over here. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've not. But I have this really long rope. And I want you to think of how the start of this rope is the start of your existence, right? And then what scripture reveals, you have a start, and then let's just picture that this rope goes on forever and ever. I know it goes to the end of the wall, but dream with me a little bit, okay? This goes on forever and ever and ever. Because that's what scripture reveals, that there's gonna be a forever in one of two places. And if you were to look in the scope of eternity, you could say that Earth, 80 years in the scope of eternity, would probably be about this size compared to eternity. And so what that means is we have this time here on Earth, and then forever and ever and ever somewhere else. And we can get so sucked into this part. The world communicates this part is forever, right? This is the only thing that matters. You should shape all of your goals, all of your priorities, because maybe there's even nothing after or whatever the world teaches, all kinds of different things, but the emphasis is this. It's this. And if you don't have what you need in this, then this is what it means for you. You don't have it. You should be satisfied in here. Here's the things you should do. Here's the goals you should have. And before you know it, we can get so sucked into this that our priorities and goals are completely focused. And when you look at our lives, you can tell if someone's focused on this or only on this. And sadly, we as believers can do the same thing. I was so convicted as I wrote this sermon. But not in a bad way, but in a way that's like, man, I want people to know this. Thank the Lord that because of Jesus, there's an eternity where there's no sin. There's an eternity where there's forgiveness and all pain and all suffering and all brokenness is gone, where we get to spend forever with Jesus in grace and mercy and forgiveness because of what he's done, amen? Because of what he's done. And there are people who don't know this, who are not going to be a part of this if they don't know who Jesus actually is. And what we can do is go, man, we should save, work really, really hard. And then we can really enjoy this little part right here, right? This little end part, retirement and all these things. I'm gonna spend all my life to enjoy this sliver in eternity. In eternity. I'm not saying retirement's not as bad. I'm not saying any of that. We shouldn't enjoy things. We should. God has given us amazing things. But what does our lives look like in our hearts towards the Lord? This is what it says in 1 John 2. It says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers you only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. He's not saying here, don't enjoy pasta and pizza and entertainment and all these things. But he's saying, guys, don't make those things, possessions and achievements, the number one thing of your hearts. Don't trade things for lesser things. Which leads me to my next point, if you're following with us, is, okay, what is God's revealed priorities then? If we don't want to get sucked into the wrong ones, and many of us know, but this is a great reminder this morning, what are God's given or revealed priorities? What's happening here in the verse that I want to share with this is that the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus back in Jesus' time, and they were trying to debunk his teachings, and they were trying to really trick him. And for Pharisees, if you're talking about priorities, they were like disciplined and followed the law to the T. They just misplaced it and they were wrong about what they were doing. But they were like, what's the most important commandment? And this is what Jesus responded with. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbors as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know, we hear this all the time, and we can get numb to things that we hear all the time. But there's power in this. And I don't think we fully realize what it looks like to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't think we fully realize what that is. If you want a picture of it, look at what Jesus did in his whole life. That's what it is. For someone who was rejected and crucified, and even while they're hanging him on the cross, he's praying over the people doing it, saying, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. To love someone with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's what God is saying is the number one priority, not only towards him, but to everyone he's created and loves. And that we're to do that with the realization that he's already done that for us. That's the most important thing in anything and everything we do. It talks about being connected and abiding and walking in that truth of who God is and who we are and his love for us and what was given for us. That is important. That is what we should build our lives around, to build our roots into Jesus. It talks about that we're to build the church, that there are people who do not know who they are and whose they are. They don't know where they're going. They're sitting in brokenness and sin and darkness. And that there is a heart that we can have to bring light and life to people. To bring life and light to people. It talks about we're to teach our family and train them in the ways of godliness, so that they know these promises, so that they are built up, not perfectly, but in a way that teaches who Jesus is. You know, this is another thing that convicted me, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I can be so driven in ministry, but sometimes get home tired and forget to do the same things I'm doing with others, with my kids. And maybe that's not ministry for you, but it's something else for you. Or if you're not married or you don't have kids, we can get so busy and not build on the relationships and the connection and serving the church. And just like I said earlier with the wrestling, someone can say all day long, I am a wrestler, but how are they building their lives and what are they doing that living it out that backs those things up? And for me, this was convicting, but not in a bad way. For me, it was like, Lord, I want to be on fire for Jesus. God, I want to know your love for me. I want to know the hope for others that I can be a part of, that I can help build your church, the ones that you died for. It talks about how we're not to just pretend that we love people. Now, you don't judge me in this, but there's sometimes we, as, okay, I should say me, or you're tired or whatever, you can pretend. We can pretend as believers at times. When we're tired, we're worn out, but it says don't pretend. To actually love people, see their needs, bear with their burdens. It says that we're to be ambassadors. In that verse, it goes on to say that we are to plead as if we are God himself pleading through us. Do we want to be a people that are pleading, begging, as if God himself were speaking through us to a world that needs not focus on this part that won't fulfill them, but that there's an eternal hope for them? There's an eternal hope for them. We don't just do this when we come to church. We are this in our workplaces, in our home places. We are this all the time. The word ambassador means that we're no longer from this country, this world anymore. An ambassador is someone who comes into a country to promote the country that they came from, but they're not of that country. We are not in the home of this anymore. This is not all there is. This little red part. That we're to be ambassadors. I did this little exercise. And I want to ask you this question. Or if you're out there today and you're watching with us, I want to ask you this question. If I were to give you a piece of paper and a pencil, and I said, you have 30 minutes. I won't really do that. That's okay. But you have 30 minutes. And I want you to write down your top three, what you would want your top three goals and priorities of your life to be. What would you want those to be based on what you want your life to be about? I did this myself. Here's what I wrote. I wrote, knowing God and loving him, trusting him and walking in faith because all he has done and after everything he's forgiven. I also tried to do this in a number of importance. So number two, being a good husband, father, a husband and father and leading my family well as Jesus leads me. Three, building his church and reaching the lost, making disciples, being a lover of people and impacting the world for Jesus. That's what I would want my top goals to be. That's if on my deathbed and I look back and I saw that these things were taking place, not perfectly because we won't do it perfectly, but I would go, that was a fulfilled life. That's the life I wanted to live. But the question I want to ask currently, and not as a shaming thing, but as a thing for you to look at in your life, and I did this with me, is if you were to take your calendar, your checkbook, your schedules, your effort, your energy, and you were to match those things with those three priorities that you wrote, would they match up in your life? That was like, I do ministry, and I'm even pastorally, but I can get things out of whack. I can get these things. And you know what else I was thinking about? How much time I spend having complete anxiety over things that absolutely don't matter. How many relationships I can be mad at because of a fight or a thing that I'm holding on to in the scope of this mean absolutely nothing. And I'll let me be distant from that person, or I'll feel the anger, or I'll buy into the enemy's stuff. When it doesn't matter, it's this in the scope of eternity. So challenging in our lives. But what are the things we're completely worried about that just don't in the scope of things? And I'm not talking about just checking boxes from here. If I were to go, all right, I'm going to change everything up. I'm going to do it. One, I wouldn't do it perfectly, so don't expect yourself to. But I'm not talking about just going through motions. I'm talking about a life that has been completely transformed by Jesus. Not a life that goes to church and checks boxes and does it because that's what the Bible says to do, but a heart that has received Jesus and his love that fuels you to go out and be the light and speaker to a dying world because of it. Listen to 1 Corinthians. This is a verse where it talks about really a box checker that the Bible isn't wanting us to be. It says this. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Nothing. He's even using really crazy religious stuff. If I had all the knowledge and could speak of angels and give everything I have and sacrifice my body, there's an ability to do church with all of those things, but still completely miss it. The ushers are going to get ready here in a second to pass out communion. I want to make my final point here. In the middle of all this, we are not going to be perfect. We were never intended to be. In fact, Jesus had to come and die because we couldn't do these things in ourselves. It's not about hearing this today, and if you're like, oh man, that hit me like it did for myself. It isn't about going and trying even harder in your own efforts. It's about you need Jesus. You need Jesus. If you really want to love, then you need to realize how loved you are, and it starts at the cross. It starts at the foot of the cross saying, God, forgive me. I have sinned. I want to live a life that truly matters. I think of the analogy where there was a guy who climbed the life ladder his whole life with passion and drive. And his whole life he spent going after this ladder, climbing it, only to at the end of his life find out that he was on the wrong ladder. I want to climb the right one. We're not going to do it perfectly. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says this. We need Jesus, guys. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because we couldn't do this, it says that Jesus took on the sins of the entire world. Not just one person's sins, but every person's sins. And if you're like me, I've had some moments of such shame and guilt from my choices that Jesus became that, it says, and not just one person's, but everybody's. And then he offered himself up and gave us his righteousness. We won't do this perfectly. But I wanna ask you some questions. And I wanna ask you, if you're out there, the same exact questions, if you're watching with us. What are you hearing today? What's one thing that you need to hear and know? Is there something that you need to pray? Is there something that you need to do? You need to take a step to serve, to get connected, to actually do life, to actually rearrange. Is there some things you need to move around? Are you actually walking in isolation right now and you need to take a step out of that? Do you realize this morning that the only reason we're having this conversation about our priorities is because Jesus made us his? Do you need to step in and re-go, I'm gonna believe this morning. And I'm not gonna focus and live and try to be fulfilled with this, but I'm gonna look at who Jesus is. And so with that, what is the one thing you need to do or pray? What's God doing in your heart right now?
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.